The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. That's TweakedAudio.com.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 102 for Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. My name is the frustrated Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I gather to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies, television, books, apps and websites, and really shitty Skype software. Joining me tonight is Mr. Joe Wright. Joe is a fellow dungeon runner of mine in AIE in World of Warcraft. Also playing a Blood Elf Paladin, kicking ass. Yes. How's it going, man?
Not too bad. How you doing, Joel?
Good. I'm fine. I'm really happy that I can finally get you on the show. It's been a little while coming. I think we first discussed it, and no sooner did we talk about it than I had guests lined up for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
just like, well, the soonest I can get you on the show is March.
It's all right. Better late than never, right?
Oh, man. Well, usually when I have a new person on the show, I always give them an opportunity to introduce themselves to the listeners. So, I mean, we know that, you know, we could talk about, obviously, video games later, but, you know, you're a gamer, you're part of AIE, you know, you're kind of part of the Frog Pants community, but what else do you do?
Well, I live in Vermont with my wife, 2 dogs, 2 cats.
Well, geez, you have a farm.
Well, not really. No barn. Just the animals. I love pretty much everything geek. Somewhat of a health nut these days. That's about it.
So I guess we can talk about the health nut thing because we had a little conversation, I guess, you know, in pre-show about this. And I remember when we first met at Nerdtacular last year, you and I got into discussing like, you know, fitness and cause you were hiking the mountain. That was the
yeah,
thing that
kind of
turned my head. You hiked up this mountain and I was like, awesome. What? Like, I mean, amazing, you know, that you can do that, but, obviously a lot of work too. And you've been doing, P90X stuff.
Yeah. I've been doing P90X now for 2 years almost. I started in the summer of 2012. So yeah, it'll be 2 years this summer.
Wow.
And I did 4 runs of that, so 4 90-day runs of that, and then I did a run of P90X2, which is kind of the sequel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did another one called Body Beast, which is pretty much all resistance training, and then now I'm doing P90X3. So
P90X3, wow.
Yeah, it's the new and improved, shorter, more intense workouts.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so because I've seen some P90X videos, and they seem pretty short and intense already.
Well, the original, the P90X video workouts are all at least an hour for the most part.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, there's more breaks in them, but they're not any less intense, really, that I can tell.
Right. It's just same amount of work, but just spread out a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just a little different timing, I guess you'd say.
Right. So you like. What prompted you to try the P90X? I mean, like, it's stuff like that where I always see it on TV and it's like, you know what? I don't need motivation to get fit. Like, I mean, I don't talk about this often, but way back in the day, like circa 1995 through 2002, I was an amateur bodybuilder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if I've ever told you that either.
Sounds somewhat familiar, but
yeah, maybe again, like I don't talk about it much cause it kind of sounds like bragging. You know, I mean,
anytime you say the word bodybuilding,
people kind of think narcissistic and all that kind of stuff. But I was into the natural sport because it was a junior and amateur level. So, I mean, like there was drug testing and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, like it was all the people that were into it were usually pretty young and were not into any kind of performance enhancing drugs or anything like that. So it was a very pure form, I guess, of the sport. And, you know, at the time I was in wicked shape, and I mean you wouldn't know it now. but a bunch of things come into play. Like, I mean, I have a bad back, I'm 35, not 18. Like, you know, there's a lot of different factors right. that come in. And I've often looked at those videos, you know, P90X, Bowflex, that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. looked at it and kind of going like, you know, I don't need that stuff to get in shape because I have all the knowledge I need. I just don't yeah. have the time, or I can't find the time. So yeah. how did you squeeze in these P90X workouts into your day?
I basically just started getting up earlier and doing it before I go to work, because if I wait till I get home from work, I most likely wouldn't do it.
Mm.
Just because I've worked all day, I wouldn't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you know, didn't have to eat dinner and stuff like that, and it just hard to do things in the evening, so I ended up going to bed a little earlier. I get up way earlier.
Yeah.
And
you get up before it's like 4:30 or something?
4:30, yeah, I get up at 4:30.
That is zero dark stupid is what that is.
But yeah. But you know, I like it, you know, so it's
yeah.
You know, it makes me feel good, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and you've obviously seen progress if you've gone from P90X, you know, three or four times into, what was the other one that you said?
Well, Body Beast.
Body Beast. And
that one's actually more of it's a bodybuilding style workout program.
Oh, interesting.
It's all resistance, all dumbbells, mostly dumbbells and things like that. So you'd probably like that one.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing. Like, I mean, I've slowly kind of retrained my brain as to what I need for fitness. I started running, of course, when I got back into Halifax. And I mean, the shift for me was that I went to art school, and after art school, I had to focus on my career, and I could not work out for 3 to 4 hours a day, which yeah, is what I was doing. And I was splitting that up. I mean, I would get up in the morning and I'd do like, you know, an hour and a half, mm-hmm. heavy cardio, you know, abs or legs or something simple. And then the afternoon workout would be like, you know, one body part through the week. You know, Monday was chest, Tuesday was right. back, you know, et cetera. And so, but I would do that, you know, that workout would have more cardio and then, you know, the weights for like 90 minutes, give or take. Mm-hmm. Eventually I honed that down to about 60, but still, like, I mean, it was a huge chunk of my day. And gym memberships, when you're not in university anymore, are very expensive.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I mean, like $600 a year was just something when I was 22, I just couldn't justify.
Right.
So I got a couple of dumbbells at home, and I mean, you can always do pushups, and I started jogging. So I mean, I kind of shifted my mentality into the runner sort of feel, and mm-hmm. I've been really enjoying that for the last few years, up until I had this back injury, where I've had these frustrating stints of being able to sort of kind of maybe jog for 2 months and then having a back spasm and not being able to continue. And then, you know,
right.
2 months later, you're feeling back into it and you're just as out of shape as you were when you started. So it's like, I never get past that hump of enjoying a run. I'm always just kind of like trudging around.
Right. Worrying, you know, about your back.
You know, well, exactly. This is the thing, right? I mean, and when you have a back injury, like I can't work. Like, I can't sit and draw when your back is, yeah. you know, when my back is bothering me. So, I mean, that kind of all comes into play. So, I did remember enjoying getting up and going for runs early in the morning, when I wasn't working from home, like when I had to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I had the same problem, or not the same problem, but I had the same attitude that you did. Like, when I get home from production management and animation, like, I just wanted to eat dinner and do nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, to work out, I would get my run in at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I would be home yep. by 8, and then I would be in like shower, quick breakfast, and out the door by about 8:30 to go to work, you know, and right. that's, you know, you obviously work a lot earlier than
yeah, that. And I work at 6:30. So,
jeez. So, if you don't mind yeah. asking, why are you at work at 6:30?
Well, it's a manufacturing facility. So, the manufacturing, I'm a manufacturing engineer. We do store fixtures and kiosks and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
and so the facility is like the manufacturing is happening right on site where you design stuff.
Oh yeah. Well,
that's,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically they're there at that time, so I like to be there at the same time, so I'm there if they have questions. Or
that makes sense.
And whatnot, so that's how that works.
Mm. Well, that makes totally that makes more sense. I don't know if I've ever, I knew what you did, but I don't think I've ever, mm-hmm. like, known why you went to work at 6:30. My speculation yeah. was that, you know, you got every other Friday off because you're putting in extra hours or something.
I wish.
I was like, the way that he laughed at that, that's a no.
I can't remember the last time I worked just like an 8-hour or 40-hour week.
Oh, geez. Well, neither can I.
8-hour day, 40-hour week. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Get used to it.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, it's good that you've got that that morning time zone then, just to kind of, you know.
Yeah, I really like early mornings.
Now, I mean, you might be able to speak to this, because I remember when I was working out, I mean, I would usually be the guy turning on the lights in the gym, because I would be up early. Because, I mean, in university, no one is up at 6 o'clock, like, ever.
No.
Maybe the swim team, but that's it. So I always kind of felt like the quiet gym in the morning when I had the whole place to myself was almost like a church. Like, it had that sort of feel to it. Like, it's very internal. Like, I mean, you're focusing on you and all this kind of stuff. Do you find you get that out of your, you know, morning workouts at home? Do you do it at home, or do you have like a garage that you
do? Actually, I do it in my basement. I just a couple months ago, I just set it up with actually a little home gym down there.
Nice.
Put some flooring down and have a chin-up bar set up. And
oh, sweet. Yeah, no, that's really cool.
TV down there. And so I was doing it in my living room, and I'd shake the whole house, you know. But
well, yeah, I'm in an apartment building, and that's why I can't do a lot of working out at home, at least not really active stuff. Like, I can do push-ups and
that
kind of thing. But and even then, like, the only chin-up bar I have is one of those ones that kind of cantilevers in between a door frame.
Yeah, I was using one of those for quite a while.
They're okay, but I mean, I was spoiled in the gym by, you know, like a Smith machine crossbar, which is, you know, as wide or as narrow as you want to grip it. You just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, I miss those, because the door frames are not wide enough for me to do chin-ups on. I bang off of them all the time.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do, too. Yeah, I do, too. Especially any kind of wide pull-up or anything like that.
Well, yeah, and a wide pull-up isn't really a wide pull-up on those little door frame ones.
No. No, it's almost a standard.
Yeah, so this is great. It's like a walk down memory lane talking about workout stuff. So what's the next step for you then? Like, I mean, you're on P90X3, you said?
Yeah, I don't know. I just whatever, either do that again or just continue or mix it up with different workouts from different programs or something. I don't know.
Cool. So do you have, like, because I mean, when I was bodybuilding, I had a very set focus. Like, I mean, I was essentially sculpting and saying, okay, if I'm competing in, you know, March of 98, then I mean, like, I need to make sure I get bigger delts by then, or, you know, like, I need to, you know, working on balancing out, you know, essentially it's almost like an artistic composition. Like, you're looking at, and it's a weird sport, because like, it's all aesthetics. Like, you're judged on how you look. It's weird. It's like football and figure skating. Like, you've got the strength and the power, and like, you're doing all these performance things in the gym, but it really doesn't matter how much weight you lift. It's just a matter of how you look on stage. And it's very similar to the kind of things that actors go through for parts, you know, Henry Cavill did all that, you know, heavy training for Superman. And I mean, he looked the part, but that's all he had to do. You know, he doesn't actually have to lift or do anything like that in the movie that isn't CG. Like, he's just, you know, he's just doing it for pure aesthetics.
Exactly.
You know, so like when you're doing the P90X, are you just kind of following, not, I don't want to say blindly, but are you following a program that has been set out for you, or have you been now doing it for 2 years, adjusting it to what you want to do?
I follow pretty much the program the way it's set. I mean, they have this particular one, the P90X3, there's like there's a lean, there's a classic, there's a mass.
Right. So if
something else, okay, I'm doing the mass version of it, which is just more resistance.
Right. So if you wanted to build strength and or get bigger, then you'd go with the mass one. And if you wanted to slim down, you'd probably go with
the lean one, which is more cardio, basically.
Right.
And the classic is kind of in between, obviously, but.
Hmm.
And then there's, the other one was doubles. You can do a doubles if you want, but I haven't attempted that yet.
So maybe that next time. What's the doubles?
It's just you do a workout in the morning and a workout at night, basically.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, after getting up at 4:30 in the morning, I'm not sure.
No, I probably won't. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Right on. Well, I was going to speak a little bit about how frustrating my dinner was this evening, but I've already had enough. I've already tasted enough frustration with Skype, so we're just going to skip over it. I'll ask the chat room for some crockpot tips next time. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this to you, Joe, but I'm the cook in the house. Where Jocelyn works outside of the home, and I'm home all day. I'm usually the one that preps the meals, and I am fighting with my crockpot right now, and I think I might just get a new one.
I somewhat gathered the cooking thing from some of your tweets.
Yeah.
Especially yeah. pancakes.
Yes, like I pancakes. Do a lot of pancakes. Yeah. Well, and last night was Pancake Tuesday. So, I mean, like, it's a really good excuse to right. have, like, you know, mimosas at dinner and, yeah, and blueberry yeah. pancakes. But yeah, it just, you know, I'm going to save that whole diatribe for another day.
Oh, before we go too far, just back to the fitness just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The major thing that I changed other than the fitness is just what I eat.
Right.
You know, that's
well, that's half the battle. So. Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's all.
Yeah. No, that's basically
Whole Foods and.
Yeah. That was another reason why I actually had to stop bodybuilding is because the grocery bill was just astronomical.
Yeah, I know.
It was just impossible. Like, I mean, it was one thing.
Well, that is even more. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, and see, like when I was in, I went to university in a small town called Sackville and like population 2000, mm-hmm. and closer to 4,000 when school was in session. But you had access to farmers markets and places where you can go and get like nice. Flats of eggs or as much right. meat as you could manage, you know, and that was easy. And there is a farmers market here in Halifax, but it's not walkable. Like, I mean, it's that's the better part of my Saturday morning or even my Saturday, you know, to go get stuff like there. That, you know. And of course, back when I was, you know, just finished university and in my early 20s, I couldn't afford the, you know, the grocery bills. You know, what I was doing at university was essentially taking the money that would have normally been spent by any other student on alcohol and spending it on really good groceries.
Right.
But once that kind of situation shifted and I was no longer on student loans and I was actually, you know, like working for a living at the gym, which paid nothing, you know, here in town, like I had to stop because it's like, well, unless I just want to eat a lot of tuna, I have to.
A lot of tuna, a lot of eggs.
Yeah. I have to switch over to something else. But yeah, you're absolutely right about yeah. feeling it. And you'll feel it too. Like if you start a really heavy workout routine and you're just still eating the same nothing crap that you used to,
oh, yeah.
then oh my God, like your body will tell you right away. It's like, I need real food.
Yeah.
You know, well, something I've noticed because Jocelyn and I, we have our moments, mm-hmm. you know, we have pizza and beer on Friday nights. That's kind of a thing. But the rest of the week we have pretty moderate kind of like meat, potatoes, carrots, you know, vegetables, yeah. that kind of stuff.
That's
and that's kind of a Maritimes staple, I guess, around here. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. And, that's what I eat too.
Yeah. And, we notice like if we go out to McDonald's or Wendy's or if we're traveling, like if we're traveling, when we're on vacation, mm-hmm. you know, like eating out a lot, we really feel like crap. Like by the end of the first Nurtacular in 2012, all we wanted was a vegetable. That's right. all we wanted. Like every
salad
restaurant we
something.
Went to. Yeah. And their salad was like, have our salad. And there's like a deep fried breasted chicken on top of it. Like, no, right. I want broccoli.
Smothered in dressing.
Yeah. Like, give me stuff that is not deep fried, please. It's like, if you tell me that you've got a deep fried lettuce salad, I'm walking out of here. Like, it was so frustrating. So yeah, it's noticeable when you go back from what you think is normal, you know, and then you start eating healthy and then you go back to eating like not junky, but like, you know,
right.
the typical kind of fast foodie or easy meals,
mm-hmm.
It really throws you off your game. Like you really kind of feel like a slug the next day.
Yep.
Yeah. Right on. Well, let's march. What's that?
I said, okay, didn't derail us that much.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. That's all right. Derailing is part of the show. It's kind of what happens. Well, let's march right into what we are watching. I'm going to start with you, my friend. Like, what has been on your screen these days?
Well, I got as caught up as I could with Sherlock. I watched seasons 1 and 2 on Netflix of Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
And season 3 isn't on Netflix yet, so I haven't been able to watch the new episodes, but I really like that show. Have you seen any of that?
I believe I have seen the first and second season as well.
Yeah, okay.
And they're the ones
I was
that are
late
like,
to it. So.
Yeah, it's like a 3-part 90-minute miniseries or 4-part. Depending.
Yeah, they're all like hour and a half long. And
yeah, yeah.
Three of them. Yeah, it's neat. I like that.
I really enjoy the concept and really enjoy the actors.
Oh, yeah, they're great, yeah.
Yeah, and the rapport that they have and the what's the word I'm looking for? The banter that goes back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
As
it seems very natural.
Yeah. Yeah. I do find a little bit, possibly just season one, and that was fine because, you know, it's just kind of getting off the ground. It was a little formulaic, you know, like in terms of like you knew what Sherlock, you don't know what the answer is, but you know what he's going to do. It's like, here's the part where he's going to be all smartass and tell everybody what they've done wrong, what he's figured
right.
out, what he's seen, what, you know, you missed.
Look through all the clues in his head.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But I found season 2 with the deeper villains to be more interesting. And plus, yeah, you've got that really character development too, that rapport that we were talking about. Yeah.
Well, they get used to their characters. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Although it's funny because it is only 3 episodes per season, but still.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, it's almost like 12 when you really think about it.
Yeah, if you get half-hour shows.
Yeah,
sure.
Or 6 1-hour shows. I mean, that's something about British TV is that they just kind of do whatever they want, whatever suits the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, anything else? Are you sticking with Britain stuff, or are you doing more American?
Well, sort of. I mean, I've been trying to get through Doctor Who. I'm only in season 2, episode 5 or 6 or something like that, but... I have a niece of mine that's a huge Doctor Who fan, and she's always talking about it and stuff. So, and I've never gotten into it, and I thought I'd give it a shot, and I like it all right. It's pretty good.
Yeah, we have to be in the right mood for it.
Yeah,
that tends to be our stance on it. I know I need to keep going. Like, I know we just need to muscle through the first 2 or 3 seasons, and then you just kind of have to start. Like, then you'll start appreciating the grander, I guess, franchise that is Doctor Who, but it's just...
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm looking at it, too.
For us, whenever there's time to sit down to watch it, there's always something else. Like, I mean, it was like, hey, we could watch Doctor Who, and then, like, House of Cards Season 2 launched, and we're like, well, that's what we're watching until that's over.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I'm waiting for, what is it, well, there's Orange is the New Black,
mm-hmm.
Derek, that Ricky Gervais... series.
We tried to watch that, and that was not our cup of tea.
Didn't like that.
I find that kind of humor a little difficult. But there's also some just personal chords that it was not sitting well with us, so we just decided, we just decided not for us.
Sure.
You know. But
Game of Thrones 2 is coming back soon.
Oh yeah. Well, I can't wait. I don't know if you knew this about the show, but a good opportunity to remind the listeners too is that when Game of Thrones is on, TCC runs into a weekly recap mode. So what we're watching section just turns into a giant spoiler filled, what happened 3 days ago on Sunday, kind of Game of Thrones fest. We warn everybody up front and we just go through it. And then that's great. We do the picks and we're out. Like it's great because it, not only does the show have kind of a light homework roster as it is, but it means that you don't have to worry about anything. For the next 10 weeks when Game of Thrones starts, it's just like, it's episode 1 and then 2 and then like you just have to go through.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And that's something that Jocelyn and I watch together. Do you and your wife watch a lot of this stuff together? Does she enjoy the geeky?
We have shows that we watch together and she has her shows. I have my shows. That's not one of our shows. No, we watch Castle together. We watch Elementary together.
I really enjoy Castle, but I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. Have you seen Elementary?
No,
the U.S. version of Sherlock.
Right, but I've heard that's good.
It's very I like it a lot.
I'll have to look. See,
it's funny watching both.
Well, and this is the funny thing, and Jocelyn and I just remembered it the other day when we realized that we could have, had we wanted to, watch the Oscars, is that we recently had to subscribe to cable to alleviate our internet cap.
Interesting.
We forget we have it.
So oh, no.
So there's all these shows that are on TV. Like, I could totally be up to speed on anything that's on, like, ABC, NBC. Like, you know, whatever the mainstream stuff is right now, I could totally be watching it. I just don't think
of it. Yeah.
You know, like, when I sit down in front of my, 46-inch television in the living room, the first thing I do is turn on the Apple TV, you know? And then from there, I'm either going to Netflix or YouTube.
That's what you're used to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Well, I like the content better. Like, I prefer to watch, half an hour shows on Netflix in like binges. Like if I can watch, well, I haven't recently because I've been too busy, but Jocelyn recently discovered that the original Pokemon cartoon is on Netflix Canada. And like she watched 5 or 6 of them over the weekend, potentially on Saturday alone. Like it's hilarious because I missed it. I was in high school, but Jocelyn, there's 5 years between us. So she was still very much into that when it was going on. And so she's like, remembering the episodes and remembering all the Pokemon's name. And, she's a big gamer as well.
So reminiscing.
So she had a Game Boy and she played Pokemon. And so like, there's all these things that she knows and I'm just like, I am lost. But I have to say, just watching over her shoulder kind of from the studio now and again, I can see how kids were really into that show. It's actually quite funny.
Yeah, you know? I haven't seen any of it. I had never really got into the, I missed the whole Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm just too old for it.
But. Yeah, well, I mean, like, I'll be 35 in April. So, like, it just, we're probably in and around the same kind of zone. And
I'll be 44 in June.
Well, we're not in the same zone. Jeez, I would have never picked you for 44, my friend.
Yeah.
Good on you.
That's good.
Yeah, good on you.
So, yeah. Because I'm immature.
Yeah. Exactly. Nice. Well, you definitely missed the Pokemon boat then.
I did, yeah.
So, okay, well, while we're on that, what was the big thing when you were like 9 and 10? Like, it would have been Star Wars, I guess, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars.
You mean movies-wise? Yeah, well, Star
anything
Wars.
Like Saturday morning cartoons, you know, like G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles, anything like that?
Not that early, no. That was all Warner Brothers mostly at when I was 9 or 10.
Right.
You know, the Bugs Bunny stuff, mm-hmm. Tom and Jerry, that kind of stuff. The Mutant Ninja Turtles, they came in. Almost lost my headset. They came in the 90s, I think. But there's a new series for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on right now.
Is that
I think it's on the Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon.
Is that the one where they look kind of angular?
It's they look CGI. They look computer generated.
Yeah, they're CGI, but I mean, when I say angular, it's almost like they have a ridge kind of like right around the middle of their face. Does that make any sense? It's like if you squished a marshmallow.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, they look a little angry.
Yeah. Oh, not angry. They just have a like it's kind of like where their nose would be.
I guess I haven't really noticed that.
It's under the mask. It's kind of a distinct kind of.
Well, you notice that stuff because
yeah. But they're very cartoony. They're very cartoony though. It's not CG in a realistic way. It's CG like a Transformers Prime sort of way.
It's like it's. Like Pixar type, not that detailed, but that type of 3D. It's the writing is really good. It's really enjoyed it.
Right on. I'll have to check it out because I mean I've seen so in the trailers and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're in their second season now. It's really good. My younger brother, I think he's almost your age. He's 30. He'll be 34, so he's 33. And he was a big Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. So that's kind of how I would watch them with him.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, what I was into, like I mean when I was really young, He-Man was the big thing.
He was into that
stuff. And then it transitioned and kids either went kind of G.I. Joe or Ninja Turtles, and I was a Ninja Turtle kid and I had like all the figures and the play sets and stuff like that. And watched the cartoon and I mean it was it's dated now, but it was good, and it was a good quality cartoon at the time. And my buddy Chad had all like the original comic books where like they all had the red bandanas and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Well, the comic books were more violent. Like they were a little bit more hardcore than the cartoon. The cartoon, they really kind of dumbed it down and made it a little bit silly. And it was quite a bit darker from what I remember in the comics. It's been a long time since I've read them, but, they're kind of classic stuff.
Yeah. This new series is pretty silly. I mean, it's silly. It's not serious at all.
Yeah, no,
but it's still good. I mean, it's not really childish, at all, you know, but it's also not very adult. So
it's just fun. Yeah,
it's just fun.
It's nice. I don't need all of my cartoons to be super serious.
Brooding,
you know?
And
yeah. Dark. Yeah. Well, I mean, there are some things though that I do want to be serious, and I take my Batman very seriously. And earlier today, I noticed a new trailer for what is the new Batman game coming out. And I mean, I feel a little guilty getting excited about this because I got Batman Arkham Origins for Christmas from Jocelyn, which is an epic Christmas gift. Like, it's a fantastic gift because I love these games. I love the series. And I haven't played it yet because I've been too busy. And go ahead.
I just gonna say I haven't played any of them either.
Oh, and she also gave me Assassin's Creed 4. So Assassin's Creed 4 I have on the Xbox 360, and Batman was on sale on Steam, so that's where I've got it. And we've got like the Xbox controller for the computer, so I mean I can have that lean back kind of, you know, controller experience, which is I feel the best way to probably play these Batman games. But I've been working so much that when I have a break, I don't want to sit at the computer and play Batman. Like, I want to go on the couch and relax and play Assassin's Creed.
I hear you there.
So Jocelyn has promised that, you know, we'll move a computer into the living room for that weekend when I want to start playing Batman, and I can spend a couple hours, you know, in there, you know, still having that living room experience, you know, which is going to be nice. But this game and this trailer for Batman Arkham Knight, which is coming out in October of this year, is, I believe, the fourth and final installment into this Batman series from Rockstar Games. Mm-hmm. And, man, this trailer is just so much fun. It is incredible what they can do with CG trailers these days. It is a must-watch at 1080p. If you have the capability on your computer or your iPad or whatever,
I'll check it out, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so nice that they do this kind of stuff. And I know it's a little misleading as to, you know, obviously what the game looks like, because, I mean, the game graphics won't be quite like this. But it is for next gen. So, I mean, there's going to be some pretty high graphics in this, I think.
Hopefully, yeah. I bet it'll be really good.
Did you have a chance to watch it before the show?
I did not.
You did not?
Oh, I did not watch it.
You need to message me later when you've got a chance to watch it. Basically, the premise for the whole thing is a voiceover of Thomas Wayne. Or someone reading Thomas Wayne's will.
Okay.
And it's kind of this juxtaposition as to what he expects of his son, Bruce Wayne, who is still 10 at the time of the writing of the will. And, like, don't waste your time on fast cars and fancy clothes, right? And just there's a lot of kind of little in-jokes and stuff like that. And the whole time there's some action happening and, like, there's voiceovers of villains and stuff like that. That's all kind of very daunting for the game.
Nice.
But those are a couple little things. They're not exactly spoilers, but they're certainly really nice moments in the trailer. And I won't really go on to say anything else if you haven't seen it, because I don't want to spoil it for
our
listeners. It's 3 minutes or so. It's a cinematic announcement trailer, so there's not really any gameplay in it. But it is just, it smashes together the aesthetics of the 1990s animated series Batman.
Okay.
And the Nolan films.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's this weird, not weird. It's a happy middle ground between the two.
Yeah.
You know, like, 'cause the Nolan films, I felt, got a little bit too industrial.
Yeah.
You know, like, he had a bat wing, I guess.
Almost steampunk,
but it was a little bit. It was kind of like a hovercraft, or it wasn't like the Batwing, you know?
Right?
And in the cartoon, it's a giant flying bat symbol, you know,
Right.
So they balanced the things out. So there's some new things coming in this new game, Batman Arkham Knight, that I think are going to be really, really cool. And the trailer is definitely worth checking out. And I was kind of on a trailer binge, because, like, once you kind of get into the YouTube hole. You kind of keep on going. And
you just look over to the right and there's something else.
Yeah, well, exactly. And now, have you watched the Transformers movies, the new ones from Michael Bay?
Yes.
Okay, are you a fan?
Well, I want to be, but
you
no.
sound conflicted, sir. You sound oh, as yeah. conflicted
That's
as I am.
Very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
The first one wasn't too bad.
Agreed.
The second one, there was one good fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
With Optimus in the woods, he was fighting two other Transformers in the woods or something. I can't really remember.
Big tank guy and somebody else. I don't remember who.
I don't know. He had his sword. It was a pretty awesome fight, anyway.
Yeah.
Of course, it was all Transformers, basically.
Yeah.
And the third one was just, I can't even remember it.
The third one suffered from too many villains.
Oh, that planet. Wasn't there somebody on the moon or something?
Yeah, so there was the guy on the moon that was supposed to be the Optimus Prime's mentor, and he was like the double crosser.
Yeah.
Then there was Megatron. Then there was the invasion and the all the bad guys coming from, like, outer space through the portal. Like, I mean, there was like three different major threats.
That's right, all the buildings falling and
too much. Ugh. Like, there's something to be said for, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, just pit Megatron and Optimus Prime against each other and everybody and their dog will flock to the theater to see that again. You know, like, it just, you know, you have to find, you know, new ways to do it, but it's really, people are okay with just, you know, good guy, bad guy, fight.
Yes.
You know, like, it just, it's a pretty straight up plot, you know, for people to digest. I think I have the same kind of, like, love-hate relationship with the movies. You know, like, obviously, I hate Shia LaBeouf. Like, I can't stand the actresses that Michael Bay casts in his movies are not cast for any other reason than to get 22-year-old red-blooded males into the movie theater. Like, just,
yeah, that drives me crazy.
It's a smack in the face to the intelligence of, you know, the moviegoer. You know, but on the flip side, I mean, I'm a huge Transformers fan. The special effects and action in these movies is out of this world.
All the special effects are insane. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I watch them.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you kind of have to, like, sit through the terrible writing and dialogue deal with and be able to see these amazing, you know, feats of computer generated effects and explosions and practical stuff and all the kind of cool stuff that they do. Well, in the new one, and I should actually preface this with saying that Michael Bay has already said, I'm taking my ball and going home and not playing with you anymore. He was very outspoken last time about not wanting to do any more Transformers films because people don't like them and people give him a hard time. It's like, well, welcome to the internet, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But yet here he is back again. And so here, and so that makes me kind of tentative about this new movie, which is Transformers Age of Extinction. We've mentioned it once in the Citadel Cafe a few weeks ago in and around the Super Bowl reveal trailer. But this is the first real full-length trailer where you kind of get a feel for what the plot might be. You get to see a lot more Transformers, and you get to see some more of the actors that are in it.
Did the Transformers actually ride Dinobots?
I don't think so.
I don't remember, you know, that like, as a thing. That was in the trailer. So
yeah,
and
that's the thing.
What is that?
Well, it's not Grimlock because Grimlock was a T-Rex, and that looked more like a dragon than anything else. And the other thing that happened is like there's a scene where Bumblebee, is jumping towards what really appears to be a Predacon, and those were a thing too, but not at the same time. I don't think. At least it depends on what version of the lore you're talking about. And you know, Transformers is another IP that has a deep comic background, animated background. Like there's a lot of different renditions of Transformers. But I mean, you're talking about robots with swords and lasers fighting robot dinosaurs.
Yes,
I'll kind of watch
it.
You know. Like I'm
after saying all that, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I am probably going to see this in the theater because it is just one of those movies that you have to see, love it or hate it. You know, you have to see it, you know, and, I like Mark Wahlberg. He's taking over as lead, because obviously no one wants to touch, Shia LaBeouf with a 10-foot pole.
No.
I think it's Stanley Tucci, I think that's his name. I could be incorrect. There's a guy with glasses in the trailer, and he's talking to Bumblebee, I think, saying, like, you know, we don't need you anymore. And, like, there are some...
I like Stanley Tucci quite a bit.
Well, this thing, there are some very good actors in this film. And this is now the fourth film in this franchise, which means that these actors have seen the other movies and are more than likely aware that these can be bad movies. You know, and what they do and what they act on day one can be edited and chopped and changed and, I mean, made into this utter pile of shite by the time it hits the theater. So you kind of wonder, like, you know, how much money did they have to offer some of these people to do the job?
You know, you just hope that they're not just because of the paycheck, you know, but I guess they are.
Well, if you are smart, because I mean, like, there's one thing that Michael Bay can always argue is that his movies make a lot of money. Regardless of what people think about it online and what the Transformers nerds are saying, the general population is like, when can I see it again? Mm-hmm. You know? And I mean, especially if you're a 10-year-old boy, like, I mean, oh my God. Like,
well, what you hope is that Mark Wahlberg was a big Transformers fan. That's why he really wanted to do the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's hoping to improve the, you know, or something like that. You know, you're hoping that.
Well, and all the actors are a step up, as far as I can tell. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. I'm hoping it's going to be good. But again, like with a fourth installment, like you also run the whole like, well, what are they going to do that's new?
Yeah.
You know, and the big reveal in the trailer, at least at first, is that it looks like Optimus Prime is now the old square Mack truck model that he was in the cartoons, which they changed and received a lot of crap from because it wasn't a Chevrolet, which was the sponsor, I think. So all the Transformers were like Chevys.
Right. Yeah.
And except for the Decepticons, because they were just whatever the hell they wanted.
Yeah.
And So now I don't, I don't know whether that they've done it, whether it's misleading in the trailer and he's not, because there's another version of him that he looks just like the same old truck that he always has been in the last three movies. So I don't know whether they're misleading everybody in the trailer.
I didn't notice all that.
Yeah. It's just, there's a couple of pictures online about the new Optimus Prime, and he's a little bit more blue than red. And I'm just like, well, in the trailer, he looks kind of rusty. Like it's just, it's an interesting kind of visual lead that they take you down. But that's the other big trailer that's been kind of circulating in my brain.
Who was your favorite Transformer growing up?
I mean, I'd have to say Prime was the big one, just because he's got that big presence. Like I've always, whenever I, am into superheroes or comic people, I always kind of liked the big guy. Like if I was watching, if it was X-Men that I was into, Colossus, if it was a series like Cyberforce, I'd be into the guy named Impact, who was like the great big, monstrous guy, or the Hulk,
I hear you.
Superman, He-Man, I was very much a alpha dog kind of muscle guy. My very first Transformer was Bumblebee. I'm sure a lot of people probably had the same one. So that was kind of always a special place. I liked Cliffjumper a lot. And,
I always thought Soundwave was cool.
Yeah, I know a lot. My best friend in grade school was very into Soundwave. He thought he was really cool. I liked Shockwave a lot. I thought he was a really interesting looking villain. And when we were watching Transformers Prime here in the house, I found that a lot of their takes on some of the classic characters were very interesting. Soundwave was one. Starscream was very cool in this rendition. I didn't like Starscream as a kid. I just found him annoying.
Yeah.
And I didn't find him interesting because, of course, there was like three other characters that looked just like him, except they were different colors.
Right.
Yeah, three different planes. I remember liking the Dinobots a lot. I had the Dinobot Grimlock, and I think I had Swoop, but I didn't have them all. But yeah, I really liked Grimlock. I thought he was really cool. And this a few months ago, I played the Fall of Cybertron, the Xbox 360 game, and you get to play as Grimlock.
Oh, neat!
Which is fun. Because he's angry all the time. And again, it just goes to that Hulk smash sort of mentality. And it just, you get to transform into the dinosaur whenever you get angry enough. And then you just start just wreaking havoc on all the Decepticons. Like they're running. It's fun. It's like being in a monster movie when you're the monster.
That's great.
But yeah, I highly recommend that game too. If you grew up watching Transformers, you'd probably appreciate it.
Check it out.
But yeah, I guess we can probably, move on. To one of the other sections here. You and I are both big podcast fans, and you had a couple of podcasts you wanted to mention.
Have you listened I'm sure you have, to the Daily Tech News show with Tom Merritt?
I do, yeah. I just caught up today.
Yeah, I did too. I've been listening to that pretty much daily. I like that because it's short, to the point. Get a lot of info out of it, right? You know what I mean?
Yep. And it's a slightly looser program than his previous tech news shows.
Yes.
Like he keeps a little bit off the cuff, he jokes around a little bit more. I think it's fantastic. He's doing so well with Patreon. Like I'm a Patreon backer of his campaign, and it's so cool to see someone that has put so much work into these shows do very well with that and be able to, he's almost to the point where he can keep the show completely ad-free.
Yeah, I know. He's doing great with it. I'm a patron of his as well.
Nice.
He's doing really well with that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Daily Tech News show. I think he might get to the point soon where he can't change the name.
Oh, I think he's there.
Yeah. I mean, he just kind of used it because he couldn't think of anything else and he just wanted to keep on going. So he called it the Daily Tech News show. And I'm surprised that dailytechnewsshow.com wasn't taken.
Yeah, me too.
I guess everybody always wants a fancy name.
It's exactly what it is. Mm. So, yep. In the other ones, I watch the morning, I listen to the morning stream because, those guys are great. I'm sure you listen to that, or maybe you don't. But
I do.
It's daily. It's a lot of time involved in it.
Well, so, and this is the thing. It depends on... Depends on what I'm doing in the morning. If I can get in there and listen, I listen. If I'm just doing artwork and stuff like that. But if I'm writing emails or doing contracts and stuff like that in the morning, then I can't. It's one of the few Frog Pants shows that if I don't listen live, I don't catch up on it. Right. That would be different if I was commuting, because I've turned my sister on to the morning stream.
Oh, okay.
And she loves it because she has the commute in the morning. She hates the radio now, which I slowly but surely convinced her that the radio is crap. And so now she downloads like Monday's podcast Monday night and then listens on the way to work Tuesday morning at like 7 o'clock in the morning. So she's got something to listen to every day of the week.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of content. So I think TMS kind of gets her to and from work, because she gets, you know, 45 minutes there and then another 45 minutes home. And then she might polish it off when she gets home. And they talk about all the stuff that she's totally into, like, you know, current events and excuse me, like what's happening in media and television and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. We cover everything.
Yeah. So I do really enjoy the show. I find that it's if I'm not catching it live, I don't catch up on it. Do you listen like download?
Yeah, I listen to the day after, because
same as Andrea,
I get interrupted too much to listen to it live.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's a weird time difference, too, because, I mean, it's a morning show for most people out west, but for us, it's like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, 10 for me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The one that I wanted to mention, which I know you listen to as well, is the new Current Geek show.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and for anybody listening, that's currentgeekshow.tumblr.com is the website, and or you can just go to frogpants.com and look for Current Geek. And it is on Fridays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and that's at frogpants.com/live, or the very same mobile Alpha Geek radio stream you're listening to right now. And I was always a fan of Current Geek. I was eventually a guest on Forecast. And
oh, great. I listened to most of those. I missed that one.
That was my first. It was me and Todd, actually. Todd Whitehead, Gnomewise. That's what I met. Yeah. And that was when it was on Twit. So it was a video podcast. It was my first one. And my first video podcast. And it was with Tom and Scott. So that was interesting.
Wow.
But yeah, they do such a good job and have changed and molded Current Geek now into its third and a half iteration.
Right.
And it is just so much freaking fun.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I know that there's some people that were looking at me funny in the car the other day because I was going to get groceries and I was cackling at some of the stuff that Scott and Tom were like bantering on about. Like, it's such a good show.
The whole gavel that he's been using.
The gavel the contest.
Yes.
The contest where like
the scoring
arbitrarily scores like -2 for, you know, you sounded annoyed when you answered the question. really ridiculous stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it's such a good show. So I highly recommend that one. That's my podcast.
Yeah, I do too.
Pick this week. I don't know if I listen to anything else. There's not much new besides the Daily Tech News show and Current Geek coming out of Frog Pants. I listen to a couple of other shows.
Well, there's the Parents, was it Geek Parents? Nerd Parents?
Nerd Parents, yeah.
Nicole Spagnuolo is doing
I should recommend that to my friends that are parents, but we don't have kids, so I...
Yeah, I haven't listened to that either.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel bad when people aren't really into it. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that, like, Steven Schleicher does that I don't listen to because I don't read that many comics to be into, like, comic news so much. I do really like Comic Dorks, but that, I think, has got a breadth of hosts that go from, like, casual comic readers to hardcore.
Oh, I got you.
And I think that's why I like that. That's Scott Johnson, Scott Kurtz, Mark Spagnuolo, and Steven Schleicher.
Steve, yeah. Steven Schleicher, I listened to his Munchkin Land and their Critical Hit podcasts.
Okay.
I'm way behind on them, but I listen to them.
Munchkin Land is about the board game.
Yeah, it's basically just them playing Munchkin.
Oh, fun.
And you listen to them play, because I... where I live, there's not a lot of people really. So,
are you like out in the sticks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out in the sticks.
Well, we had fun there playing Munchkin at Nertacular last year.
It was great. Yeah, that's the only time I've ever played.
Oh, really?
That was the first. Yeah.
We've introduced a bunch of friends.
I played it. Well, I'm sorry. I played it. That Nertacular was the only, because I played it like two or three times there. Two times there.
Yeah.
But since then, I haven't played, and that was
It is an absolute hit. If you and your wife are ever like going over to somebody's place for like a dinner party, or if you're out of town and staying at a friend's place or something like that, as a gift, like as a thank you, Jocelyn and I spent the New Year's Eve this year with Ryan and Ashley out in Peterborough, and we brought that as a gift for them. And we played the night of, actually. We might have played New Year's Eve and day, but we certainly played New Year's Eve, and it was really fun. And Ashley ended up winning, I think. So people can catch on to it really, really quickly. And she's, you know, she's got a really nerdy boyfriend, but she's not a super geek, you know, like, so she was
Yeah.
You know, she was able to pick up on the game quite quickly, and it was fun. Like, we really had a good time. We just bought them the basic Munchkin. Jocelyn and I received our copy of Munchkin the same way. Her friend Ron was staying with us with his girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And he bought us Munchkin Booty, which is the pirate version.
Oh, okay.
So all it's all like, you know, peg legs and swashbuckling this and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we really enjoy that. That is harder to teach just because of the pirate theme for some reason. It gets in the way a little bit because of all the funny wording and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people tend to grasp the idea of a fantasy game with like monsters and swords and shields and like dwarves and elves and stuff like that a little bit easier because of the popular, you know, Lord of the Rings stuff that's happened in the last 10 years, versus like pirates where they're just kind of like, what, why are we playing a pirate game? It's like, well, it's not really a pirate game. It's just this game Munchkin that's themed like a pirate. And it just, it gets a little bit hard, but, we've taught a few people to play and we really enjoy it.
Oh, good.
Yep. What's Critical Hit about?
Critical Hit. It's basically them playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay. So vice versa, same idea. They're just doing
same idea. Stuff. You just listen to them play, and you know they do the role playing very well, and you know it's just fun because I don't get to play that anymore, really, because it's kind of a hard game to. The older you get, it's harder to get people together to do that game, and
yeah, you know
it's
that
just, it's very time consuming. And
I feel like Mike Boyd does like game nights like that online where they use like a online service to do tabletop games.
Yeah, I know he was doing Cards Against Humanity there for a while online.
Yeah, and I know a couple of people that do it online. Kyle Ferguson and Ben Zweifel from AMU Radio. Hmm. They do a virtual Star Wars tabletop RPG. Once a week or more. They don't record it and broadcast it. Like they just do it for like it's a fun. They get together and do it as a social thing. It's not part of their podcasting thing. But they seem to have a great time doing it. I know that Kyle and his wife, not his girlfriend, they're both playing together in it. Like they're both characters in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. Would you be ever able to convince your wife to do an RPG?
You mean like D&D?
Like a tabletop?
She's actually played D&D.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yeah. She has four older brothers.
Okay.
And they used to play, and they used to rope her into playing once in a while. And yeah, I've played with her before.
Nice. Yeah. Jocelyn,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, we played our first tabletop experience at Nerdtacular last year. We did the Star Wars one. I don't remember which Star Wars one. It was one of the more recent ones. And it had like, you know, battle droids and Ewoks and Wookiees and stuff like that. I don't remember what I was. I was one of those weird looking aliens with a face mask.
Oh, okay.
Like I had a strange breathing apparatus on.
Right.
But the key moments I remember were Old Man Franks was there, Alden Age, Quoted Nevermore. Like we were all around the table and Old Man Franks was a Wookiee and he was really RPG.
Oh.
Like, he was like doing the Wookiee yells and like it was really funny. Then he was like protecting his wife because she was shot or pinned down or something like that. Meanwhile, I was distracting the main battle droid that had come down the stairs. And it was Jocelyn, the Ewok from like behind the barrel that rolled like the perfect roll to shoot the thing in the head for the final kill. And she had this tiny little dinky blaster that didn't do anything all game.
Right.
And
double
this,
damage.
Yeah. And this thing was down to like its last little hit point. And she just kind of jumps out, you know, Ewok style from behind a barrel and just like, pew, pew, and that's it.
That's great.
But it was very, very fun. And I can't remember the Dungeon Master's last name. Steve was his first name. Again, very cool. And a lot of work went into it. It was very neat to kind of see like an entry level experience. Like, I mean, he had to craft it in a way that would be easy for people that were brand new to the game to pick it up.
Right. And, yeah.
Yeah. The hard part about those games is getting people past the character creation. Like, there's a lot of rolling and a lot of stat stuff, and you have to have the patience to get through it. And once you're through it, you're fine. Because once it's set up, it's easy. Like, follow the graph or follow the stat path as to what you do next and what you're good at. Like, you know, if you roll above this or below that, then that's good and other things are bad. And like that kind of stuff is easy once you create the character, but trying to understand the character is at first can be a little bit daunting.
Yes. Yep. Definitely is.
Right on. Well, I guess we can move into the last part of the show, which is our Internet Minute, where you and I can share some really cool things that we have found online. And the Internet Minute on the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. The Citadel Cafe is proudly sponsored by TweakedAudio.com. For high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, visit TweakedAudio.com and use the code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. There are several different styles. There are mic'd sets available. They're compatible with iPods, iPhone, Android devices, most MP3 players, and they come with a lifetime warranty. So once again, that code is TCC at checkout at tweakedaudio.com. My pick this week is yet another YouTube video because it is just where I was the last little while. And it is a new building material. It's basically a concrete canvas. And what they've done is they've pre-packaged it as, I guess you could say like a tent or a dome or a hut. And it comes in this waterproof plastic. You pump it full of water to wet the concrete wraps. And then you pump it full of air and it blows up just like an air mattress. But when it's done, it's got all the properties of concrete. So it's hard. It's thermal. It'll keep the heat in, keep the cold out. And it takes 3 to 4 hours to erect a very sturdy, you know, structure that could be used for, you know, like first aid in, you know, third world disaster or other disasters. It's one of those things that it's you almost have to see it before you can really understand what I'm talking about. But the applications from a architecture standpoint and from like I said, like an emergency standpoint, I would think would be really, really cool. It's a big package to deliver. It's certainly not something that it's I would consider
very heavy.
Yeah.
Once it's wet.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, it was something like 160 liters of water or something like that to wet the thing. Like, I mean, you're talking about a lot of weight.
But very, very cool.
Yeah. But again, like, you know, like in a smaller version, you know, like if you were, I don't know, camping or setting up some sort of base camp for archaeology, kind of thing, you know, especially because, you know, the potential for, I don't know how easy it would be to knock down because it's not a thick, you know, structure.
No.
You know, you might be able to, if it was built in a way that was, you know, easily deconstructed, you might be able to do it with, you know, very little impact on the environment.
Yeah. I mean, the fibers that looks like they're holding the material in with, you know, the whatever that fabric is, mm-hmm. that adds a lot of strength to that structure. Mm-hmm. Just having that fabric intertwined inside the concrete like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they based it off the idea of how people go to the hospital to get plaster casts on.
Right.
Right. When you break a limb.
Well, basically fiberglass. I mean, it's the same idea.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had a fiberglass cast when I broke my wrist a few years ago. Mm. Yeah, they're light. Yep. They're much nicer than plaster.
Yes.
So I had both. I had the fiberglass for like 12 weeks, and then I had another 6 weeks with the plaster cast, and I hated the plaster cast. I mean, the fiberglass cast. I mean, a cast is still a pain in the butt, but I preferred the fiberglass over the cast or the plaster cast. Especially even though the fiberglass was like bright purple, I really didn't care.
Right. Yeah, I've never had to wear a cast. Luckily.
No. Oh, hey, knock on wood, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down that road. no. So what about you, sir? What is your pick?
Well, I noticed this is called the Blizzard Student Art Contest.
Oh, cool.
I didn't even know they did that. And it's basically these art colleges and it's a contest for the students for Blizzard, and it's for some really talented people.
Mm.
I don't know if you had a chance to look at it or not. Yeah. But.
Oh, the Noman School of Visual Arts. I've seen students from there before. They're very talented.
I like that one the best. Yeah.
Usually very talented. Yeah. Wow, these are amazing.
Yeah.
That looks like a hyena with like armor and stuff on. That's brilliant.
I know. Wouldn't that be a nice mount?
Oh my god. Yeah, like it just, I mean, for those of you that don't play World of Warcraft, we're kind of geeking out at the moment, but I think, yeah. I looked at this earlier, and I think one of my favorites is the pigeon, or the dove, the dove concept art at the very, very bottom. It's basically like a giant mech armor set. But
oh, the dove head.
With the dove head in it, like, so right. it looks like a dove is driving around, sure. And there's olive branches on the shoulder pads, like it's really quite clever.
Yeah.
You know, good for a laugh. Some of them, you know, really kind of have that sense of humor that WoW has too.
Yes.
You know, like there's a druid with like moose antlers and stuff. I just, yeah. Too funny. I think
the ferret or Otto. It's Otto the Otter, it looks like.
Yeah, Otto the Otter, yeah. And he's like he almost looks like he's a Chinese fisherman. Like that's the costume.
Yeah,
that he
the
has
gear
is kind of an Oriental Mists of Pandaria sort of sort of garb. It's like, again, like the art direction on these, like the thought that went into the details and stuff like that are very, very cool. I like the environment sketch from the Noman School and the hyena. Again, like, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely the winners, you know.
Yeah, I agree with the winners.
Far and away. Far and away. Very, very cool, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com/live. If you're there now, you're going to notice that I've changed a few things on the website. Excuse our growing pains. There's a few things that are broken. Most things are functional, including our live page. I just need to clean up some of the graphics and make things a little bit prettier. So as I do that, just bear with me over the next week or so as I sort that kind of stuff out. I'm dealing with a new theme, which is better in the long run than what the old one that I was using. But at the moment, things are a little bit janky. I'm going to have to get my web guy, Ryan Murphy, on that. The mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com. You can find that at mobile.alphageekradio.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. And of course, the episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter and Facebook by just the show name. And since I mentioned Ryan Murphy, I should also let you guys know that he and Jocelyn are doing these game nights on Thursday nights where they stream, you know, games that they want to play. We did StarCraft last week. I don't know what they're playing this week. They might be delving into Diablo. There's a new patch in Diablo, so a lot of people are going back to that. They streamed Diablo a few weeks ago. So Thursday nights, it goes from 8 Eastern till 10-ish, depending on when they want to go to bed. That's always a fun time. And it's less involved in the episode of the Gamers In podcast, which they do on Friday nights. And you guys can always hang around with them in the chat room on these game streams and kind of talk back and forth. They always have their eyes on the chat room. And the Gamers In podcast, of course, happens Friday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on amove.tv. As I mentioned at the top of the show, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com. Please check out my Patreon page for my comic work. I have recently adopted the value for value model where I set up a Patreon page where the webcomic that I've been drawing for free for 4 years is available and accessible for people that would like to help me create it. So if you'd like to become a patron, check out patreon.com/joelduggan and I guess drop your coin in the hat where you see fit. And if you're not the kind of person that likes to subscribe long-term to these kind of things, that's okay. I'm always going to draw the comic for free. Just tell some friends about it, you know, get the word out there. It's a great way for me to kind of subsidize the artwork that I do for Starcross, which is the name of the comic. And you can see a lot of the goals and the other things I'm setting out to do on the page. You can follow me on Twitter at Joel Duggan. And that is about it for now. Joe, where can people find you online?
Well, I'm on Twitter, JOSWRIGHT, Joss Wright on Twitter. At Joss Wright. I also wanted to say that people really should look at Patreon, and if whoever they like, they should try to support them.
Absolutely.
It's a great program. I like it a lot.
It's so nice to see the opportunity for people to support, you know, artists and creators that they enjoy for such a nominal fee, like a dollar a month. I mean, that breaks down to like 25 cents a comic.
Well, it's a strength in numbers thing, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, for example, we mentioned Tom Merritt earlier tonight with his, you know, Daily Tech News show. I mean, he's getting, I think he has almost 3,000 patrons.
Right.
And he is doing this tech news show full-time from home. It's basically his job. Like, that is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for someone that puts that much work and research into all of the stuff that he does. So, I mean, like, and there's lots of stuff on there, too. Like, there's musicians, there's vloggers, there's video, there's, like, streamers, there's other comic creators. I know, like, Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal and, MPC comic by Mary Varn is on there too. Like, there's lots of really cool creators, and I'm sure that, you know, if your favorite creator doesn't have a Patreon page, tell them to get one.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure it's growing, you know, it's
absolutely. Yeah.
Exponentially. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Bancroft, a kind of an internet friend of mine who I interviewed on Comics Coast to Coast. He has one now for his comic, Outnumbered. So yeah, like, I mean, it's just a really interesting and, a way to cut out the middleman.
Yes.
For all intents and purposes. Like, you know, like there's, just like everything else, like with Kickstarter and Indiegogo, there's a bit of a processing fee for that kind of stuff, but that's par for the course.
Yeah.
It's nominal. Like, I mean, really a huge chunk of your dollar goes to the creator. It's a really well-balanced program.
Yes, I agree. And I guess if people have interest in, like, P90X, and Beachbody is the company that makes the P90X. They make Insanity. It's a very popular exercise routine. T25, you know, any of that. They can go to the Beachbody site. I have a site. It's kind of a template that Beachbody gives you when you're, I'm a Beachbody coach, which means, which it's, yeah, I mean, basically it's just, it doesn't mean a lot. It's just that you get discounts on their items, and you can make some money if people buy their product through you.
Right. So it's almost like being, you know, being an Amazon affiliate.
I don't really, I pretty much use it just for the discount I get for buying their products, but
right.
I'd be happy to, if somebody wanted to go through my site to get to them to be there. And if they go through your site, you become their coach.
That's
so
cool.
When they sign up on the Beachbody website, because they have a calendar there that you keep track of your workouts, and there's a community there and stuff like that.
Very
but
cool.
Anyway, that's at nerdflex.com. So nerdflex.com, and like I said, it's just their templated website. So it's kind of I intend to make a real one at some point. But
nice.
And you can get to their site. I have a profile page on there that you can go see my before and afters if you want and stuff like that. So.
Very cool. If you don't mind me asking, do you have a number for, like, you know, the amount of weight that you dropped, or the, you know, I guess it's not so much about weight after a while. It's more about, I guess, performance.
Yeah, it was never about the weight really, but about 40 pounds.
Nice, man.
So, yeah. So, yeah, no, it feels good.
Good stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to yet another episode of the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, fit, and cheap, but you can only pick two.